If it's true that our species is alone in the universe, then I'd have to say the universe aimed rather low and settled for very little.
So, in case you don't know, VAERS is the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Their website is www.vaers.hhs.gov. That's VAERS stands for Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. It is the official reporting system used by the CDC to keep track of injuries from vaccines, not just the COVID vaccine, but other vaccines. Because contrary to what some people believe, there always are some people who are injured or who might even die as a result of taking a vaccine. It's not just true of the COVID vaccine, it's true of all vaccines. And VAERS, their job at the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System is to keep track of the injuries and deaths from these vaccines. If you go to their website, you can report an adverse event. So if you think you were injured, or if you think someone you love has passed away due to a vaccine, you can report an adverse event. That's what they call an adverse event. Now, many people do not report it because they do not know that they were injured by a vaccine. They might think that their symptoms were caused by something else, or they might not have the time to report it, or may not know that they can report it. And the same is true of medical professionals. Some doctors don't know about VAERS, actually, or they know about VAERS, but they don't have the time or the willingness to report an injury or an adverse event from a vaccine. It can be, my understanding is that it can be a time-consuming process to make these reports of injuries to VAERS. And many doctors and medical professionals simply may not have the time. Now, if you want to see how many people have been injured or who have died from any vaccine, including the COVID vaccines, you can go to medalerts.org, medalerts.org/VAERSDB, VAERSDB, VAERS database, basically. And you can do a search to find out how many people have been injured or who have died from the COVID vaccine or from other vaccines. And you can search by age group, too, and see how many children or how many adults or how many elderly people have been injured or have died from the COVID vaccines and from other vaccines. Many people have done this kind of a search and have discovered that these COVID quote-unquote vaccines are more deadly. There are more deaths and injuries from it than from any other vaccine that they have seen statistics on. Many other health experts are reporting that VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, is notorious for underreporting the number of injuries and deaths. And as I mentioned, often injuries and deaths are just not reported to VAERS. So it has been estimated that only 1% of injuries and deaths from vaccines are actually reported to VAERS. So you can imagine that the number of injuries and deaths from the COVID injections, these quote-unquote vaccines, it could be 10 times more, it could be 100 times more injuries and deaths than have been reported to VAERS. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist! Actually, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy realist. But no, this is actual fact. These are deaths and injuries that have been reported to VAERS. And I'm going to tell you what they are right now. You're an anti-vaxxer! You're an anti-vaxxer! Well, it has nothing to do with whether I'm an anti-vaxxer or whether I'm a conspiracy theorist. Whether or not I'm a conspiracy theorist or an anti-vaxxer, if I tell you the sky is blue, are you going to argue with me and say, the sky's not blue, you're an anti-vaxxer, you must be making that up? Yeah. I mean, If it's a hot, sunny day, and I say it's a hot, sunny day, are you going to say, you're an anti-vaxxer, you're a conspiracy theorist? Come on, people. Facts are facts. This is not my opinion here. I am going to read you actual statistics, which you can look up yourself. Again, go to medalerts.org/VAERSDB and look up the statistics yourself if you don't believe me. Go to VAERS.hhs.gov. So here it is. Between December 14th, 2020 and August 20th, 2021, about 8 months, VAERS data show that 623,343 adverse events were reported. And that includes 13,627 deaths and 84,466 serious injuries. Again, less than a year, about 8 months, 8 months' time, there have been over 13,000 deaths and over 600,000 adverse events, that includes the deaths from these injections. So I'm going to read to you from the chart that I have here from medalerts.org/VAERSDB, which is just has the chart that shows 623,343 cases where a vaccine is COVID-19. This is as of August 20th, 2021. 13,627 deaths, 17,794 permanent disabilities. So almost 18,000 people are now permanently disabled. Permanently. So if you're going to take this one of these injections because your boss at work is pressuring you to and you have kids to support, or you want to travel or you want to participate in certain activities and you're thinking, I won't be able to do that if I don't take this shot. Let me tell you something. If you become permanently disabled as a result, you won't be able to help your kids. You won't be able to support your family. You might end up bankrupting your family. Your family could end up homeless on the street because you might not get compensated for your injury. Just think about it. Is it worth taking the risk of being permanently disabled or dying? Do you want that for your children? Are you going to pressure your kids into getting one of these injections so they can go to school, knowing that there's a chance they could be permanently disabled? Is it really worth it? Because I got to tell you, for me, health is everything. Without your health, you could be a millionaire. And if you're not healthy, that money will not do you any good. You'll just be spending your money hiring people to take care of you, to keep you alive. I got to tell you, health is wealth. It really is. So over 13,000 deaths, almost 18,000 permanent disabilities, over 100,000 office visits, 57 emergency room visits, and then it says emergency room / room visits, 74,312. Emergency doctor / room. Hospitalized, 55,654. Hospitalized prolonged, 167. Recovered, 205,226 people recovered. Okay, well, that's good. That's good news that they recovered. But did they permanently recover would be my question. How do we know that actually some people might be just fine after they take this vaccine, but a year later, 2 years later, 5 years later, 10 years later, they suffer from the effects? What about young people who find that they are not able to have children after having had this vaccine? Will they know that it's the vaccine that made them infertile? Probably not. Most likely their doctor won't tell them, oh, it's because you took that COVID vaccine, that's why you can't have children. No, most likely they won't, because, you know, the reality is, I'm sorry to say that, you know, there are doctors who are benefiting from this. They're benefiting. And there are probably some doctors who are otherwise good people who really just are ignorant and are just kind of going along with doing what they're told as well. But chances are, you know, a lot of people will have effects from these vaccines later on and will not even realize that it's associated with the vaccine. And that's why the VAERS data tends to be an underreported number. So the real number could be much greater. 13,000 deaths could be 130,000 deaths. or even a million deaths. We really don't know what the exact number is.
Recovered. So we did that. Birth defects, 393 birth defects, 14,104 life-threatening, I guess life-threatening injuries. Non-serious injuries, 258,809 non-serious injuries. Well, okay. So some people were hurt by the vaccine, but it was determined that their injuries were not serious. That could be true. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to see doctors with ailments that I thought were serious, and the doctor said, they're not serious. That's not serious. You're fine. But I wasn't feeling fine. So I'm a little wary of that. Not serious. People were still injured by the vaccine. So maybe it wasn't life-threatening or permanent disability, we hope. But a vaccine injury is a vaccine injury. And this COVID-19 is an illness that for most people has over a 99% survival rate, from my understanding. So why take a vaccine for that? Why risk being injured?
Okay, so as I mentioned, you can also, when you do your search on medalerts.org/VAERS-DB, you can search, there's different ways that you can search. Okay, so one search result I got from August 20th shows, it gives a breakdown of the 13,627 cases where the patient died after taking the COVID injections, the so-called vaccines. Oh, and by the way, I'm saying so-called vaccines because as David E. Martin and other health experts have pointed out, the Moderna and Pfizer shots, they don't fit the technical, typical definition of what a vaccine is. They are patented as gene therapies. They modify your genetic makeup, your DNA. They change your DNA. So if you took one of those shots, you are a genetically modified human, which maybe doesn't bother you. I guess maybe you're one of those people who eats at McDonald's and Burger King and you take in all this genetically modified food on a regular basis anyway. But I gotta tell you, I don't want it. I do not consent. I do not consent. And I don't want to be forced or coerced or pressured into having my DNA modified. I don't want to be a genetically modified GMO human. Anyhow, so I looked at these cases of patients dying from the vaccines, okay, which you can look up yourself. Again, I gave you all the information. Look it up yourself. I urge you to do that and verify that what I'm saying is true. So babies who died, children under the age of three babies died. I guess you're okay with that, maybe. Maybe you think that's fine, as long as they're not your babies. But again, children, babies, very unlikely to die from COVID-19. Why take the risk in giving them this potentially toxic injection? Three babies died. Children between the ages of 12 and 17, it says 14 of them died. Oh, but they're not your children, so I guess it doesn't matter, right? Young people between the ages of 17 and 44 years old, 419 of them died. And this is interesting. As we get older, as we go up in age, we see more deaths from the injections. And weren't we told that older people are more vulnerable to COVID-19? Well, it sounds like older people are more vulnerable to the injections for COVID-19 as well. Because as we move our way up to, ages 44 to 65 years, then we get 1,453 deaths. Isn't that interesting? 1,453, over 1,000 of those folks died. When we go to the age groups, age 65 to 75 years old, we get 1,821 deaths. When we go to ages 75 and up, 4,714 deaths. Interesting, isn't it? So three babies died, but over 4,000 people over the age of 75 died. And then it lists unknown. So there's some folks who died, but their ages were not reported. Gosh, I wonder why. I wonder why their ages were not reported. Anyway, over 5,000 people of unknown age died. Over 5,000, 5,203 people. So that's the breakdown of the 13,627 deaths right there.
Oh, but I didn't die. I took the shot and I'm just fine. You're a crazy anti-vaxxer.
Okay, you didn't die. But again, the duration of your life might be shortened and you won't even know. If 5, 10 years down the line, you end up with cancer
or autoimmune disease, or if this flu season you become a lot sicker than you normally get, you probably won't attribute it to the vaccine, right? And your doctor probably won't either.
Oh, you're fine. It has nothing to do with the vaccine, nothing at all. I didn't get any money. As a doctor, I didn't get any money at all from this. My hospital or clinic didn't get any money at all for reporting COVID deaths.
Did you hear those anti-vaxxers say that some hospitals might be getting kickbacks for reporting deaths as COVID-related? Did you hear that? Well, that's a conspiracy theory. I wouldn't believe that because doctors are good. They're such wonderful people. They really care about you and your health. And so do scientists, and so do politicians. We've just got some wonderful politicians who care so much about us. I just believe everything these politicians tell me. What about you?
Because that's the way Americans are now. They're always willing to trade away a little of their freedom in exchange for the feeling, the illusion of security. What we have now is a completely neurotic population obsessed with security and safety and crime and drugs and cleanliness and hygiene and germs. There's another thing, the fear of germs. Where did this sudden fear of germs come from in this country? Have you noticed this? The media constantly doing stories about all the latest infections. Salmonella, E. coli, hantavirus, bird flu. Now they have West Nile fever. And Americans panic easily. So now everybody's running around scrubbing this and spraying that and overcooking their food and repeatedly washing their hands, trying to avoid all contact with germs. It's ridiculous. And it goes to ridiculous lengths in prisons, and this is true. In prisons, before they give you a lethal injection, they swab your arm with alcohol. It's true. Well, they don't want you to get an infection, and you can see their point. Wouldn't want some guy to go to hell and be sick. It would take a lot of the sport out of the whole execution. Fear of germs. What a bunch of pussies. You can't even get a decent hamburger anymore. They cook the out of everything now because everybody's afraid of food poisoning. Hey, where's your sense of adventure? Take a chance, bunch of pussies. Besides, what do you think you have an immune system for? It's for killing germs. But it needs practice. It needs germs to practice on. So if you kill all the germs around you and live a completely sterile life, then when germs do come along, you're not gonna be prepared. And never mind ordinary germs. What are you gonna do when some super virus comes along that turns your vital organs into liquid shit? I'll tell you what you're gonna do. You're gonna get sick, you're gonna die, and you're gonna deserve it because you're fucking weak and you got a fucking weak immune system. Now, I'm going to tell you a true story about immunization. When I was a little boy in New York City in the 1940s, we swam in the Hudson River, and it was filled with raw sewage. Okay? We swam in raw sewage. You know, to cool off. And at that time, the big fear was polio. Thousands of kids died from polio every year. But you know something? In my neighborhood, no one ever got polio. No one. Ever. You know why? Because we swam in raw sewage. It strengthened our immune systems. The polio never had a prayer. So personally, I never take any special precautions against germs. And you know something? In spite of all of that so-called risky behavior, I never get infections, folks. I just don't get them. I don't get colds, I don't get flu, I don't get food poisoning, and I don't get headaches or upset stomachs. And you know why? Because I got a good, strong immune system, and it gets a lot of practice. My immune system is equipped with the biological equivalent of fully automatic military assault rifles with night vision and laser scopes. And we have recently acquired phosphorus grenades, cluster bombs, and anti-personnel fragmentation mines. So, when my white blood cells are on patrol, reconnoitering my bloodstream, seeking out strangers and other undesirables, if they see any suspicious-looking germs of any kind, they don't around. They whip out the weapons, wax them, and deposit the unlucky fellow directly into my colon. Directly into my colon. There's no nonsense. There's no Miranda warning. There's none of that three strikes and you're out. First offense, bam, into the colon you go.
Well, I gotta tell you, if you are worried about COVID-19 and the danger of catching COVID-19, Or maybe you're worried about taking the toxic injections, the medical treatment being offered to you in response to your fear of COVID-19. Fear no further. The CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, has a solution for you. If you go to cdc.gov and do a search on their website on green zones, you can read all about it. I'm looking at cdc.gov/coronavirus/2019-ncov/global-covid-19/shielding-approach-humanitarian.html. The CDC is offering a wonderful solution to our problems. And I'm going to read it to you because, you see, I went on their website and I made screenshots and I downloaded the PDF because their plan for these green zones is available as a PDF and you can download it on your computer too. So I'm going to read it to you. Starting right now. Quote, interim operational considerations for implementing the shielding approach to prevent COVID-19 infections in humanitarian settings. This was updated as of July 26, 2020, but I saw this recently here in 2021, August of 2021. Okay, so they may have made changes since then, but it, as of August 2021, this is what I got off of the CDC's website. Quote, this document presents considerations from the perspective of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, for implementing the shielding approach in humanitarian settings, as outlined in guidance documents focused on camps, displaced populations, and low-resource settings, unquote. So, you notice the word camps, focused on camps, and displaced populations. What are displaced populations? People who are taking out of their homes, basically. Low resource settings, what is that? Those are settings in which there aren't a lot of resources. So people, they're talking about people being removed from their homes and not having access to a lot of resources, being removed from their homes and being and living in poverty. Without things that they need, maybe without a lot of food or water or shelter. That's what they're talking about on the CDC's website. Do you understand? This is not a conspiracy theory. I am reading to you verbatim from what is on their website. I'm going to continue. I'm going to read the entire thing to you. Quote, this approach has never been documented and has raised questions and concerns among humanitarian partners who support response activities in these settings. The purpose of this document is to highlight potential implementation challenges of the shielding approach from CDC's perspective and guide thinking around implementation in the absence of empirical data, unquote. Okay. I just want to emphasize, they say, in the absence of empirical data, which means they don't have scientific research behind it, and yet they want to do this, okay? That's what it looks like to me that they're saying, empirical data, without scientific data. This is not science. So I'm going to continue. Quote, considerations are based on current evidence known about the transmission and severity of coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19, and may need to be revised as more information becomes available. Please check the CDC website periodically for updates. What is the shielding approach? The shielding approach aims to reduce the number of severe COVID-19 cases by limiting contact between individuals at higher risk of developing severe disease, quote-unquote high risk, and the general population, quote-unquote low risk. High-risk individuals would be temporarily relocated to safe or, quote-unquote, green zones established at the household, neighborhood, camp/sector, or community level, depending on the context and setting. They would have minimal contact with family members and other low-risk residents, unquote. So did you hear what I just read there? Did you hear that? They want to reduce the number of COVID cases. Cases. Do you understand what that means? Cases, not deaths, not injuries, not illness, just cases. And we know the PCR test is not accurate. So they can say you're a COVID case and you're in perfect health. You know, you're a case. And the way that they want to limit the cases is by designating certain people as being high risk, okay, and removing those people from their homes. That's exactly what it's saying here. Relocating you to a safe or a green zone. It could be in your neighborhood. It could be another part of your household, but it could also be somewhere in your neighborhood or a camp. It actually says that, camp. And you would have minimal contact with your family. Do you understand? This is what is on the CDC's website. I'm not making this up. This is real, people. I mean, this is just the beginning. I mean, I haven't finished reading any. This is just like the introduction. Okay, there's a lot more to read. And I will read it to you if you can handle it emotionally. I mean, don't get depressed over this. Don't get depressed. Don't get frightened. Get angry and empowered. This is what I'm hoping. I want to read this to you. I want to read this to you to empower you, to empower your resolve, especially if you're a doctor, a nurse, a medical professional, a scientist, or if you're in law enforcement or the military. You need to stop doing what the powers that be are telling you to do and start standing up for your fellow human, because this is going to affect all of us. Do you understand? This will affect you personally. Your children can be taken away from you. Your children, your parents, your loved ones. This affects all of us. We need to stop with the rugged individualism nonsense. I'm sorry, I do not believe in rugged individualism. It irritates me greatly. Okay, it really does. That is a form of social distancing that we need to stop starting now. And I am not being a communist or socialist by saying we need to come together. This is how human beings survive. Animals do this too. They hang out in tribes, in groups, to keep themselves, quote unquote, safe. That's really how we keep safe, is by looking out for each other. And when we look out for each other and we help each other and we work together and cooperate again, that scares the heck out of the powers that be, because then we're not dependent on them. You understand? People go on welfare and they get government assistance because no one else is going to help them if they can't find a job or they can't get it together. So please, people, speak out if you can. Do what you can. If you are in the military or law enforcement, please. If they tell you, go out and arrest people, we need to capture these people, put them in camps, don't do it. Stand up for the Constitution. Stand up for the Bill of Rights. Stand up for your fellow American. Please, I beg of you. This will affect you personally. I'm going to read more. I'm going to read the whole thing, like I said. Quote, current evidence indicates that older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. In most humanitarian settings, older population groups make up a small percentage of the total population. For this reason, the shielding approach suggests physically separating high-risk individuals from the general population to prioritize the use of the limited available resources and avoid implementing long-term containment measures among the general population. Unquote. unquote. So who are the people who will be removed and put in the concentration camps? Those are the people they decide are at high risk. Who are the high risk? They're saying older people and people with underlying medical conditions. Okay. But I must also alert you to the fact that those of us who've chosen not to take the toxic injections might also be considered to be high risk. Or just anyone the government doesn't like. Dissidents, people like me, or maybe people like you, my wonderful invisible listeners, anybody who speaks out, who expresses opinions the government doesn't like, give you a PCR test that doesn't work right, and just, you know, jack up the cycles and say, oh yeah, this person tests positive, this person's at high risk, you know. Or, you know, I mean, at this point, it almost seems like the population is so docile and complacent and ready to go along with anything that they could just maybe just look at you and say, you know what, I can tell by looking at this person that they're high risk, and just, you know, I'm just going to arrest this person and throw them in a camp for their own safety, of course. But believe it or not, this document gets much creepier and much darker and much more frightening. And that's why I want to read the entire thing to you, even though it's going to make this podcast. Actually, this podcast is getting pretty darn long. I think I will separate this into a second podcast. So I will read the rest of it to you in the next podcast. Thank you for listening. And thank you for listening with courage and bravery and not fear. Fear does us no good. They want us to be afraid. Remember that. When you're afraid, you're giving them what they want. Don't be afraid. Be a fighter. Be angry. Get angry and think about what we can do, what we can realistically do to survive this. Not violence, not aggression, coming together as people and forming our tribes. That's the solution. Remember the videos you might have seen online of the people in the bar. The police came in and told them, you can't gather, you can't be together, you have to be socially distancing. The people stood up. They didn't point guns at the cops. They didn't get violent. They stood up and very assertively started marching towards the cops and saying, get out, get out, get out, get out. That's what we need. Assertiveness. Assertiveness is not the same thing as violence or aggression. It is standing up to the bullies, and these people are bullies. Bullies are cowards. And the only reason why they succeed is everybody's afraid of them until they realize once you stand up to these bullies, they cower. They're not expecting people are going to stand up to them. So that's what we need to do. We need to come together, form our tribes, form our armies, and be ready to say, get out. I'm not going to take this. We're going to grow our own food. We're going to form our own monetary system. We're going to live independently. We're going to live off the grid. And that's how we shut them down. We just don't give them our money anymore. We don't give them our support anymore. We don't need to be violent or aggressive. We just need to check out. Okay, we're going to drop out. We're not going to support your system anymore. And that ultimately is what will stop them.
And what I like to do is to occupy my mind. In other words, I like to take control of what kinds of thoughts are going on in my own head. What about you? Whoops! Looks like we've run out of time. So, what do you think? Is wearing a cloth over your nose and running away in fear from other people keeping you safe? Do you want your human body to be genetically modified and become a human GMO? Should other people be forced to have their bodies genetically modified? Were you a huge fan of the Nazis and happy they returned to wreak further havoc on the entire world? Do you think Bill Gates should take the place of God or your higher power? Let us know. Until next time, occupy yourself, occupy your mind. Stay human. Stay independent. And stay free. Not the sanitary napkin company. I mean, stay free as in remain free. Oh, never mind.